084238, United States v. Stewart.
Good morning, Ms. Kunicki.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm Assistant Federal Defender Judith Kunicki, and I'm here representing my client today, Mr. DeMarco Stewart. Mr. Stewart has appealed his case alleging errors in sentencing and is requesting that this Court remand his case for sentencing consistent with a request that this Court direct the District Court to clarify its statement that the career offender status, the law, would not be changed by the District Court.
Well, the career offender guideline is the law, as Judge Gilbert put it, in terms of calculating what a defendant's advisory sentencing range is. Isn't that the context in which you made that remark?
I'm not sure, Your Honor, and that is in part our problem. The court did correctly begin the two-step process of determining the correct advisory guideline. Mr. Stewart does technically qualify for career offender status. There was never any contention by the defendant otherwise. However, the defendant had lodged an objection and asked the court to consider, among many other things, the 15-year report, which has called into doubt the viability of the career offender guideline, and in fact has determined that it is flawed in several ways that create unwarranted sentencing disparity. It is unclear from the district court's decision and its statement at sentencing whether or not the court recognized that it had complete discretion to, having calculated the career offender guideline, to depart from the career offender.
Well, the law was pretty settled at that point, that the court did have discretion to, once it computed, it's a process you go through. First step is compute what the appropriate guideline range is. And then after that, you apply the 3553A factors and so forth. But you still have to go through the mechanical process of determine the appropriate guideline range. Isn't that what happened here? The guideline range was determined. The court then thereafter considered the other factors and determined the sentence that was sufficient but not greater than what was a guideline range.
I don't believe so, Your Honor. What I believe the court did was determine that he qualified for career offender status and that the court therefore was not allowed to consider the flawed nature of the career offender guideline that the defense was arguing. The court seemed to believe that the career offender, if he technically qualified for the career offender guideline, that it applied. I'm not sure, and I have to be perfectly honest with the court, because there was no clarifying memorandum issued by the district court, I am not sure what the judge's reference to the law was. But it is clear that the advisory career offender guideline is advisory, and that the court had complete discretion to completely ignore the career offender guideline, to accept what had been promulgated by the 15-year report by the Sentencing Commission, and to not take the career offender guideline as presumptively reasonable, which it appears the court may have done in this case.
Well, it's my understanding, though, that you do not disagree with the guideline calculation with the career offender guideline being added. You just object to the career offender guideline period.
Yes, Your Honor, that is correct. Mr. Stewart conceded at sentencing and in his appellate briefs that he technically is a career offender status under the advisory guidelines. What we did ask the district court to do, however, was to consider the fact that the guidelines were flawed, the career offender guidelines were flawed from their inception, and that they were based specifically and only on a congressional directive to the Sentencing Commission. And that here, with the 15-year report, the Sentencing Commission itself has determined that the guidelines are flawed and that they actually do violate 3552A.
Had the judge not made that comment, which is part of a longer paragraph, it's not just a comment made, it's part of a, you have to read the whole paragraph in there to see that comment. Had he not made that about one sentence comment, would you have an appeal in this case?
I believe I would have appealed on the issue that it is an unreasonable sentence and that the court gave undue weight to the career offender guideline and not sufficient weight to the 3552A factors.
So the comment itself really is not a factor in this appeal. It's that he chose not to disregard the career offender guideline. That's the issue.
I believe it is, Your Honor, because I am unclear as to whether or not the court considered the career offender guideline somehow the law which he could not deviate from, or that he could not completely disregard the career offender guideline.
But if by your own admission, if the client was subject to the career offender guideline, and that goes into the computation of the guideline range itself, how's that error?
That would be error, Your Honor, because if the court had recognized its ability to completely disregard the career offender guideline as flawed from its inception and flawed based upon the evolving and redefinition that the Sentencing Commission has done with regard to career offenders, even using it as a starting point, I believe the court may have been more inclined to look at the 3553A factors and assess the disparity that the career offender guideline is inherently applied.
But the career guideline, I don't want to take up too much of your time here, but the career guideline itself is not a 3553A factor. It's a guideline factor.
It is a guideline factor, but it is creating unwarranted disparity, which violates 3553A. And the defense point is that the court seems to have given undue deference to the career offender guideline. And the comment that the career offender status, the law, supports that. The court seems to be assuming that the career offender guideline is presumptively reasonable, which, of course, it is not. And the court seemed to give that greater deference than it would have perhaps given the 3552A factors and the findings of the Sentencing Commission.
But that's an enactment of Congress and the Sentencing Commission, correct? It's not. The court didn't establish it.
No. The directive was from Congress to the Sentencing Commission to establish the career offender enhancement and to set the career offender guidelines as close as possible to the statutory maximum.
Which the judge didn't even do here. He did not, in fact, impose the statutory guideline maximum or the statutory maximum.
The fear would be, Your Honor, that the court, because it was a correctional directive, that the court is giving undue weight to the career offender enhancement, even in light of the Sentencing Commission's evolving redefinition of what the disparity that arises from the application of the career offender enhancement as it stands.
What would you say was the minimum he needed to say in order to make clear that he understood that he wasn't bound by the guidelines and that after considering the relevant factors, he concluded that a within-guidelines sentence was reasonable?
I believe that the judge could have said that he had understood that he had the authority to completely disregard the career offender guideline, having once calculated it.
So if he would have imposed a sentence of 187 months here,
He
would have imposed a sentence of 187 months, which would have been below the guideline range, the whole point of the guideline range. That would have showed that he understood that or didn't give significant weight to the career calculation.
I'm not sure I would agree with that, Judge.
What would he have had to do?
I think the judge would have had to make clear that he recognized that it was a viable argument and that the career offender enhancement in light of the commission's report has some significant problems, but then gone ahead and said, even in light of that, this is the sentence that I believe is reasonable under the facts of this case. Unfortunately, his statement that the career offender status was the law, and then the subsequent record where he does not seem to address any of the 3552A factors that were presented to the court requesting a lower sentence that was outside the career offender enhancement indicates that he did not recognize he had full authority to completely disregard the career offender status having once calculated it.
But a sentence of 180, the range was 188 to 235.
Yes, Your Honor.
He gave a 200-month sentence. He would have given the sentence of 1 month below that minimum, 187. That would demonstrate conclusively that he recognized that he was bound by range, could have gone below it.
I believe it would require some statement on his part that he recognize the argument and his authority to deviate and to totally disregard the career offender enhancement if he chose to do so in light of the 3552A factors. And I think that is really what is at the heart of this, is it is unclear whether or not the district court recognized its authority, whether or not the district court actually considered the 15-year report in the Sentencing Commission's recommendations with regard to the career offender enhancement, because it appears that the court may have assumed that it was presumptively reasonable to sentence him within the career offender enhancement, and we know that that is not true. This court may review a sentence to see if it is under the presumptively reasonable standard, but a district court must consider all the factors under 3552A. And I would still be before the court arguing unreasonableness, because in light of the 3552A factors and the sentencing disparity that occurs in this case, I disagree wholeheartedly with the district court's decision.
Let me ask you, did you represent him at the sentencing proceeding?
Yes, I did, Your Honor.
What sentence did you argue would be?
I argued for an unenhanced guideline sentence of 100 to 125 months, and I requested the low end.
Hey, Mr. Boyce. Still morning.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Don Boyce here on behalf of the government this morning. I would characterize the appellant defendant Stewart's argument as having two parts. First, that the district court treated the career offender guideline as mandatory, which, if true, of course, would violate Booker. And second, that because the career offender enhancement was used in calculating the defendant's advisory guideline range, that resulted in an unreasonably long sentence. In response to the defense,
let me ask you one question. Would you agree it would have been somewhat helpful to the court here if the judge had talked a little more about how he applied the 3553A factors? He said he considered them, and take him at value that he did consider them. But would it have been helpful in your opinion, had he discussed a little more how he considered the 3553A factors?
There's no question, Your Honor, that any time on appeal looking at a sentence, the more that the district court goes through the factors and explains his reasoning, the more helpful that will be on appeal.
Well, to a point. I'm trying to say too much. And that's what somewhat criticism is a judge in this case. But I've asked my question. Go ahead.
Well, as to the defendant's first argument.
Can I follow up on that?
Yes.
Because I am concerned about lack of evidence that Judge Gilbert engaged in a meaningful assessment of whether a within-guideline sentence was or was not Mr. Stewart. In other words, how can I be sure that he engaged in that inquiry with some on-record statement from him about reasonableness? I mean, it's true that he mentioned 3553A, but he mentions it in passing. And on the other hand, you know, it is also true that we've said that district judges don't have to rehearse the factors on the records. But here, what do we got?
Well, it's true the record could be more fully developed on that point as to going through the application of each of the 3553A factors. There was extensive discussion in the argument both on as to the PSR objection and then in the recommendations of counsel that addressed those factors. The court's comments were that he knew that the guidelines were advisory, that he took into account everything in the pre-sentence report, that he took into account the guidelines, and that he took into account the 3553.
Would a fair reading of the sentencing hearing be that the judge spent more time talking about the career offender guideline than he did talking about the 3553A factors?
Much of the hearing was spent addressing the objection, that is true. And then I think that was all taken up in the final determination. In addressing the objection, the court asked me for both my response to the objection and for my recommendation as to sentencing in one go. Defense counsel did give a little bit more recommendation after her argument on the objection, but it was mostly also incorporated into her argument as to the objection. So I think that the way it played out at sentencing was that much of the discussion of the sentencing factors was actually taken up during the discussion of the objection, and then once that was resolved, then we were most of the way there towards sentencing under the statute. So I think on the defendant's first issue, all the court has to do is look at the record and see that the court didn't feel cabined by the career offender guideline. When the court made the comment regarding the law, it was during this discussion of whether or not the career offender guideline should be included in calculating the guidelines at all. And, of course, the law requires the court to properly calculate the guidelines, and no one was disputing that Stewart is a career offender. So the judge was right.
There are different degrees of being career offenders, and do you agree that these are pretty kind of low-level prior convictions?
Well, the fact that there are three, I think, is significant, but each one individually is not a particularly kind terrible drug trafficking offense.
Yeah,
I concede that. There were also seven other convictions, two of which were drug possession offenses that had been pled down to possession from trafficking offenses. I think that those were all things that the court could consider. If you're asking whether there would be cases where a career offender should get a below-guideline sentence based on the 3553A factors, that's certainly true. It's just not the case in this case. So as to the reasonableness argument, you look at the factors in this case and you look at this defendant. You look at someone who would have qualified as a career offender had his third drug trafficking conviction been a federal case instead of a state case. He was a three-time convicted drug trafficker who had seven other convictions. And in the case at bar, sold drugs to the police and to an informant in three different transactions, not just one. Also sold a gun to an informant. He had just gotten the gun in exchange for some crack that he gave to a third party, got the gun, sold it to the informant. Looking at all of that, looking at the 3553A factors, I think it'd be very difficult to find that the district court abused its discretion in coming up with that sentence. The last comment I would like to make is just about the sort of overall attack on the career offender guidelines as fundamentally flawed based on their promulgation. I would submit that the career offender guidelines are anything but flawed. If anything, they're one of the most common sense aspects of federal sentencing law.
Open is a true prosecutor.
Congress is the fountainhead for sentencing policy, and Congress made the common sense decision that someone who's already a recidivist, violent felon, or drug trafficker who goes and does it again should, in the average case, get a significant sentence. And I just don't see where that's anything but plain common sense. That's all I have if there are any other questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, Ms. Kunicki, you used all your time. If you would like 1 minute, I will give that to you. Is that okay, Mr. Boyce, if I give her 1 minute? Thank you.
I would take my 1 minute just to remind the court that the congressional directive in Section 994H does not overrule the other. I believe it goes from A to X in Section 994. And the other directives are that the Sentencing Commission is obligated to evolve, refine, review all of the guidelines to make sure that they are comporting with the sentencing goals. The Sentencing Commission did that in the 15-year report. They found that this career offender guideline is flawed. It is not comporting with 3553A. It is causing severe sentencing disparity, and such is the case here. Mr. Stewart is a low-level trafficker. He should not have been sentenced as a career offender. His sentence that he received is five times greater than any sentence he received at state. It does not provide a reasonable sentence. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you. Now, I know that this is an informed of corpus. Were you?
I'm an assistant federal defender. I was
misrepresented.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the fine job you both did today. Thank you. Case will be taken under.